Hey everyone, this is Kurt Frankum with the Leading Saints podcast. I want to make just a quick episode. I'm just going to slip it in here on your feed and along with some future ones as well, because we have a really important event coming up on September 10th. Now, the beauty of it is it's an event that's virtual, so you can attend this event from anywhere in the world, and it is called the Liberating Saints Virtual Summit, where we have gathered 20 plus individuals, experts, authors, medical doctors, therapists, really counselors. I mean, there's so many diverse perspectives and really smart people that are part of this. And I wanted to come with them with the question of how do we help these individuals who are just trapped in pornography, that struggle, that wrestle with it, that just can't seem to stop, even though they want to so bad. And what came from this is some remarkable interviews and discussions that we're going to make available starting on September 10th. Now, you do have to register for it, which you can do so by going to leadingsaints.org/liberating. And there you just click through and register. And it's for free. So you can register for free to see each session day to day. And you really don't want to miss this. Now, I want to share with you a clip from one of the many interviews that we did. And this clip is with Steve Shields. And Steve has become a really close friend ever since we first interviewed him and his wife, maybe 2 years ago, about his experience. He went through a time of sexual addiction, of being unfaithful to his wife, and has come out of that and is currently excommunicated. But he talks about in this interview what that excommunication experience has been like for his recovery, what's helped, what hasn't helped, especially in the context of the leaders that he's worked with. And I really appreciate his candidness of being open to this this difficult process, because there's many leaders out there that are working with individuals who have received a serious church discipline and maybe don't know what to do or don't know how to help them when sometimes the process seems so long. And so in this clip, Steve talks about this concept of community and how leaders stimulate community in his life, and that truly is what's making the difference. It's not about just the once a month or once a quarter checkup of, hey, how you doing? Everything good? You haven't slipped up? But it's really about your role as a leader to stimulate community, and it's fantastic.
One of my former bishops texted me the other week and was like, a week ago, hey, how are you? I'm wondering how you're doing. I thought about you today. You know, you doing okay? We should catch up sometime. Right there, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I'm redoing my yard at my house, and he knows all about it. And so he's grabbed onto that, right? And I get it. I see through it. And I love it. Because do you think he really needs to help me with my yard? I have 20 people who help me with my yard. No, he sees an opportunity to connect with me on a personal level because he cares. He was at my excommunication. He cares. Yeah. Right. And feeling that from him. Right. And building that community. That's what creates hope. Right. When we feel isolated. Right. When we're all the way on the left side of the scale, it seems impossible. And then anytime something happens. Right. So Kayla, who gets upset about a lot of things I do, rightfully so, I'd say most of the time that she's upset, I probably did do something to, you know, my wife is very soft and a kind person. And so she gets mad at me. She goes, I just don't even know that I can deal with this. And the adversary comes in and goes, see, she will never really love you. Evidence right there, right? He's grabbing onto every moment. And the more that we have community, there's all these people that say, you're totally going to make it, dude. You're totally going to make it. I just acted out really bad in my addiction. Yeah, I know. You're going to make it, right? I just sat with a buddy of mine who's getting divorced, right? In addiction. And I'm like, you'll be fine. You're going to make it. Just giving him hope, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and we kind of already touched on this, but I think I would say if you took anything, take this. This would be the key parts about the process that I think church leaders sometimes don't see. And the biggest is, right, is not just see the spouse, right? The spouse is a barometer. We talked about that. But also the spouse needs community, because 99% of the time, and if I'm wrong, if you're a bishop or an Elders Quorum president or Relief Society president or stake president listening to this, find a couple that you know, you have them in your stake or ward, who are going through church discipline, and tell me if you think the wife's community looks different than this.
Yeah.
So she has all the problems, right? She's got the betrayal trauma. She's got the shame, right? And no matter what anyone says, it doesn't matter. My wife's pretty. It doesn't matter how pretty you are, skinny, thin, fat. Always what comes with sexual addiction is you are not enough. You, the woman, are not enough. And had you been better at keeping the house clean, had you been lost some weight, had you been more sexual, had something been, then maybe this wouldn't have happened. the adversary brings that every time full court press. Mm-hmm. So no matter what that woman tells you, that's going to be a part of her recovery. And church leaders tend to kind of keep their distance a little bit, right? So my current bishop is my neighbor, literal next door neighbor. So we're kind of like already friends. So he gets called as bishop and I'm like, I'm going to be one of those guys on your list and it's going to be real awkward for you. And he's like, oh, ha ha. And I'm like, no, I'm serious. And so he meets with my wife and my wife has been in the process for a while. She's met with a lot of church leaders. She's like, this is awkward for you, isn't it? You know, and he kind of laughs. He's like, no, but I'm glad you said that. Because it is awkward for him, right? Because he doesn't know. You have the gender issue and you have... And so what I would tell church leaders is that doesn't have to all be on you. Yeah. There are incredible Relief Society presidents out there. Incredible, right? And so it doesn't have to just be on you, right? I mean, we're learning this about ministering, right? One of the under themes of ministering is you don't need a calling and a call. I minister all the time. I'm not even a member. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to have some certain... So say to that wife, hey, I understand this is really hard, right? If you're my wife, right? My wife's in her late 20s. Meeting with a 50-year-old man talking about your most personal issues might be a little bit of a barrier for you. Would you be okay if I told the Relief Society president in our ward what's going on with you and had her reach out to you? Would you be okay if I disclosed that?
That's powerful.
And then actually do it. Call the Relief Society president. Hey, you're Relief Society president. You've got some sheep and this is one of them. Mm-hmm. Time to minister. So whatever inspiration you're new, and that's different for everyone, right? Whether that's going to get your nails done together, whether that's helping her with her kids, whether that's just being family friends, right? Like that's where the spirit comes in and you know the difference, right? And so creating that community for the spouse, it's the same. It happens differently, right? But it's the same. Yeah.
And I think when we take that, it's easy to say, all right, let's keep this in between me and you. Not a lot of people have to know this. You know, you need to maintain your privacy. Like, by asking those questions, you're broadening that community, which is going to help that person more, right? It's not about keeping the secret so nobody ever finds out, because that is very shame-based.
Yeah, well, and the two things I will tell you, and again, someone can doctrinally challenge me on this if they want. Send me an email. I'd love to have a conversation with you. But is you as a church leader have confidentiality. Totally correct. When I walk into your office and say, hey, this is my life, you can't go home and say, hey, wife, guess what? Dude, crazy stuff with the shields. Did you know? Blah, 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 yeah, blah. Yeah. Right. We all understand that you as a church leader have confidentiality. That's important. Therapists have confidentiality. Doctors have confidentiality. We get that, right? That is very different than being open. It says directly in Doctrine and Covenants to confess your sins with your brother. Plural. Mm-hmm. Plural. Mm-hmm. Not that one brother behind a closed door. Plural, right? And I can tell you from the experience I've seen with men who share and everyone who shares, people are there to, how can I love and support you if I can't see you, right? And I labeled that as that's one of the purposes of the process is to be seen. Right. And so I can give a great example of that. So I show up, I'm serving in the stake young men's presidency. That was my calling prior to being excommunicated. All the high councilmen totally know me, like on a personal basis. So I walk in there. They don't know it's me. Right. And in fact, I had gone to a college football game literally the week before with one of them. So I'm sitting in the car and I'm like, hey, so you're having a disciplinary council a week from now. Right. And he's like, how do you know? And I'm like, because it's mine. Just thought I should give you a heads up. Because I literally thought it would offend our friendship if I walked in there and he was like, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Like we're friends and I didn't know. So I walk in there and I've had an experience in my previous disciplinary council where one of the leaders said, this is extremely hard for me. I love just like going and raking the yard of a widow, right? Mowing her lawn. That is great. I love that part of the gospel. Stuff like this. This is so hard for me to be here, right? Versus the experience I had sitting there with all these high councilmen, and my wife's like, all these people know you. This is going to be so awkward. You know, she's worried about the judgment. And just having tons of kindness from all of them. I had one who, it's like we know each other's acquaintance in church, don't even really know me. He texts me after the fact, texts my wife and says, Kayla, you're so brave and you're awesome. I just thought you need to know that. He texts me after the fact and he's like, you know what? I just love Apollo Burger. And I just love to buy people Apollo Burger. So if you would be so kind to give me an excuse to go get Apollo Burger one night. I don't even know this guy. I mean, I do kind of, but not really. Yeah. He's just ministering. Like, that is ministering, right? He's bringing the heat. And so the contact, like, and the reaching out, right? There's not a limitation. And I think it's the, well, I should have someone meet with them once a month and check in and try and, this is a marathon. It's not a sprint. Mm-hmm. Our goal is not to say, you did something wrong in the covenant, stick your hand out, let's slap it at the appropriate hardness, and then now you know, get back in the ring, right? And that's going to change what's going on. A perfect example of how this doesn't work in the church is missionary work. How many of us have sat through numerous Sunday schools, sacrament meetings, right, quorum meetings, where the person gets up and they're like, if you loved God, you would do missionary work. You've had people do missionary work with you. Missionary work changes lives. All of the right reasons. Guilt, 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 guilt you into, you should be doing missionary work. And we all go, oh my gosh, that's so true. I should be doing missionary work a ton, right? And intellectually, we're all there. I can't believe none of us are doing missionary work. How are we not? The field is white, ready to harvest, quote DNC4. Why are we all not just running out and doing it? Man, that was a great lesson. And do you know how much missionary work gets done out of that guilt trip? Right. Zero. None. Right? We see that this doesn't work in society. Look at our prison system. What we've done since we've done the war on drugs, right, which is basically half the people in our prison system, is say, what you're doing is really wrong, and so we're going to punish you until you get it. And you know what we've done? Created more drug dealers, more criminals, and we haven't rehabbed anybody. So we see it socially. We see it in the church, the way we process. So that can't be how we look at church discipline.
Yeah. Right? The purpose is to punish them into obedience.
It's a marathon, right? Yeah. And that's why, right, the other thing that I put on here is it's, you know, missing the mark, right? We want to quantify the behavior, right? Oh, well, this guy, you know, he only cheated on his spouse once, but it wasn't technically sex, so it's not that bad, and he came forward. Where this guy got caught, and he's been to 20 strip clubs and done all this bad stuff. So this guy's a lot worse. This guy's a lot better. That may not be accurate, and oftentimes isn't, right? Which one has more shame? Which one is, right? So there's the analogy, right? I'd rather be a mile away from hell walking away from it than 100 miles walking towards it.
All right, that concludes this clip with Steve Shields, who is part of the Liberating Saints Virtual Summit. He has a great podcast, if you haven't heard. It's called Unashamed, Unafraid, where he shares recovery stories of individuals who've been trapped in addiction and are in recovery, and they are inspiring. I never miss an episode. It's one of my favorites, so definitely check that out. But it's important for you to be a part of this Liberating Saints Virtual Summit. It starts on September 10th. You do need to register for free by going to leadingsaints.org/liberating. There you can enter your email address and be on the list of registrants to participate in this. And I really need your help. If you can share this on social media and just get the message out there. There's so many leaders and individuals, whether you're a leader or family member, but just anybody that's trying to love and mentor individuals who are struggling with addiction. This would be or struggling with any form of pornography or sexual addiction, whatever it is. There's so many words and things that I want to make sure I don't cover the wrong people here. But please, if you would share that, leadingsaints.org/liberating, go there, register, and you don't want to miss it starting September 10th.